Go ahead and take the service register and sign your name if you haven't already done so. And as always, we appreciate you doing that. And the children that want to go to children's church may leave now if you haven't done so already. What we want to do today and for the next few months is we want to think about a word. It's a word that is vital. And it's a word that is crucial. It's a word that we can't really get along without. It's a word that's like air in the lungs of life. It's a word that serves as a measure of spiritual growth. If this word is building in the Christian, they will be growing spiritually. And if this word is growing in the church will be growing as well. And God wants this word to be vital in our lives. And you can probably guess what that word is. And He gives us this word to give us strength. And we want to hold on to this word. And we want to hold out this word. And the word that I'm talking about is the word hope. You know, hope is an important word in life. Our lives and our thoughts are shaped by this word hope. Think about it. You know, hope gives us something to look forward to. Hope enables us to look ahead at life with optimism. A man went to a Little League baseball game and he approached one of the boys on the team and he said, "What's the score?" And the boy responded, 18-0 and we're behind. Well, the spectator wanted to encourage the boy, so he said, "You know, I'll bet you're probably pretty discouraged." "Why should I be discouraged?" replied the little boy. "We haven't even gotten up to bat yet." Hope. With hope, there's always a chance of a good outcome. You know, we always have that idea that it may turn out right. A man was sentenced to death, and he obtained a reprieve by assuring the king that he would make the king's horse fly. "Give me a year, and I'll make your horse fly." And so they asked him about that because it seemed so ridiculous. And he said, if I don't make your horse fly in a year, then you can put me to death in a year. And they asked him about that, and he said, "You know, within a year, who knows? The king may die, I may die, the horse may die. Maybe even at the end of the year, the horse may fly." Hope, even blind hope, it's crucial to life. A number of years ago, some researchers did an experiment with laboratory rats to see what effect hope can have when someone is undergoing hardship. So they took two sets of laboratory rats and they placed each set in a tub of water. They left one set there and they all drowned within an hour. The other set they periodically lifted out of the water and put back in the water, and that set lived for over 24 hours. Why? Because suddenly they had an innate sense of hope that something good was going to happen, that they would be able to stay afloat. And if hope has such a power with simple rodents, then how much greater power does it have? How much greater effect does it have in our lives? And we need hope. People need hope. A good definition of hope, as I was thinking about it, you could say hope is living now with the potential of a positive outcome. Living now with the potential of a positive outcome. You have a doctor's appointment and you hope and you pray for a certain positive outcome. But the fact is that it'll be either good or bad. So we hope that it's positive. Most of the time, when you think about it, hope is like a wish. You know, I really want it to happen, but I'm not sure that it's going to happen. You know, that old cartoon where the fellow's trying to figure out if the girl that he has a crush on likes him. So he takes a branch with leaves on it. You know, "She loves me, she loves me not. She loves me, she loves me not." It just depends if there's an odd or an even number of leaves that they're picking off that determines if the person loves them or not. It's like a wish. You know, I want her to love me, but I'm not really sure. You know, maybe she really doesn't love me. And we hope sometimes, we hope against all odds. There's nothing else to do. We hope against all odds. I was watching TV a couple of weeks ago on the news, and they had a big lottery drawing, and nobody won. So on the news, it showed they kept it going, and it showed a picture of people lined up hundreds of feet outside the store so that they could buy that lottery ticket that would give them a chance to win millions of dollars. Never mind the fact that they had a 16-time better chance of being struck by lightning while they were standing in line than they did of actually buying the winning lottery ticket. But hey, somebody's got to get it. It might be me. Hope. What about when our hope really doesn't come true? I'm sure, you know, I would understand if I was buying a lottery ticket out of that many people. I wouldn't lose any sleep over the fact that I wouldn't win unless, you know, they called out the number and I got to the last number and then it was wrong. That might make me lose just a little bit of sleep. But what happens when our hope doesn't come true? You know, this past football season, Boise State was just the up-and-coming team in college football, and they were spending the whole year winning and winning and winning, hoping for the chance that one of the top teams would slip up so that they would come out of nowhere and have the chance to win the national NCAA football college championship. And so they're going well until they played Nevada. They'd won every game by a lot. They'd beaten some good teams, and they knew if they kept going and they went ahead in the game, and then Nevada came back and tied the game, and Boise State got the ball for one last chance and drove down the field right in front of the goal line, and they had time for one more play. They had a great kicker. They brought the kicker in for what was like a chip shot, like an extra point, just a little field goal that he'd made hundreds and hundreds of times. The play was called, the ball was snapped, the hold was good, the kicker kicked it, and he missed it. Right there. They're all ready to cheer because they knew that there's no way he was going to miss that kick. Their hope was going to be realized that they would keep going and have a chance at the national championship, and he missed the kick, which left the game tied, and then Nevada scored in overtime eventually to win the game. And you should have seen the looks on the faces of those players. They had put all their hope and having a chance to be undefeated and to do really well. And when we don't get what we hope for, and there's things a lot more important than winning or losing a football game, and whether a team wins or loses, it can be tough. And a lot of us, we know what we're talking about because we live lives with hope, and sometimes that hope doesn't work out like it can, and that's why the book of Proverbs says that hope deferred makes the heart sick. Now, as Christians, we are the ones that are supposed to be keepers of hope. We're the ones who are charged with bringing hope to those who need hope. And we know that we have hope even when it seems hopeless. But often, isn't it? It's still a challenge. I mean, sometimes we struggle. We know that we're to hope. We know that we're to trust the Lord, but it can be hard. Sometimes we pray, and even what we pray can make us anxious because we don't know for absolute certainty that it may actually happen. And we want that answer. We want God to answer our prayers according to our hopes and according to our desires, whatever that might be. We want a person to be well. We want to get that job. We want and hope that our lives would please the Lord. But amidst our hope, if we're honest, sometimes there's doubt and sometimes there's struggle, and we can get down. We can get under the pile. And we know as believers, we shouldn't be that way. We should have joy. We should be happy, we think. And this lack of feelings of hope can sometimes lead us to doubt our faith. And then we think, what kind of Christian am I? I hope nobody finds out that I've got these nagging doubts in my life, that I don't have all this hope and all this joy that everybody's supposed to have. You know, I even struggle with hope, you know, and I'm preaching on it. Now, 1 Peter is a book about hope, and we're going to be looking at 1 Peter over the next however long, next couple of months. And it's talking about biblical hope. It's talking about not just wishful hope. And it's written to people who need hope. And it talks about the source of our hope, how to maintain true hope every day, moment by moment, even on the surface, when everything looks grim. You see, in Scripture, biblical hope, the meanings of the words that are used to describe Christian hope, Well, they're different from the kind of hope that we might, the common meaning of hope. It's different in this way. You know, we hope in people, or we hope in circumstances. We hope in something to happen. But with people and circumstances, there's always an air of uncertainty. There's sometimes a very, very good chance. There's a very definite chance. But there's not many things in life that are absolutely certain. There's no guarantee, except in a few instances, that we will absolutely get the outcome that we want. Most of us have been to the doctor to get some tests. And, you know, I was at the doctor one time, and, you know, you get this test, and they say, we'll call you in a week. So you're thinking, well, you know, I'm either okay or I'm not. I hope that I'm okay. But what if I'm not okay? And then your mind starts racing. Well, it could be this, could be this. And then you don't get a call. So you know, that's what I did. Took matters in my own hands. I call the office and say, I was wondering if you have my test yet. And then the nurse says, well, the doctor needs to tell you. And you know, I'm going, I'm gone. You know, I'm calling my, I'm doubling my insurance, man. You know, I'm going to have a wealthy, I'm not going to make it. Because if the doctor's going to call, it must be bad news. Well, actually, I did get a procedure done, and the doctor called about a month later. And he said, oh, yeah, by the way, I just wanted to call you. If it had been something serious, I would have called you right away. And I'm going, I mean, I'm eating everything I can eat because it might be my last meal. Who knows? You know, and probably okay, but, you know. There's an uncertainty about hope in a lot of things, but biblical hope is different because biblical hope, by definition, always carries with it the idea of certainty, big picture certainty. And hope in Scripture means a strong and confident expectation. It means a certain expectation. We can rest in our expectation. It's like, when is the last time you saw a movie for the second time? Maybe you saw a movie you like so much, you wanted to rent it again, or you wanted to take someone to see it for the first time, and you go to the movie. Well, there's no major surprises. You might have missed something, you know, small in the movie, but you know how the movie's going to turn out. You know that at the end of the movie, there's not going to be any surprises. You know for certainty that the good guys are going to win. You know that's what they're going to do. And that's what biblical hope is like. The good guys are going to win. Jesus' most important promises are going to come true. And it may not feel like it now, but it's going to happen. That's why the Bible says that faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things unseen. So hope is active, but hope is also an object. Our activity of hoping is based on the object of our hope. And maybe you've read that book, the Purpose-Driven Life. Well, we have a person-driven life. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 and 4 says, praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Jesus Christ is our greatest hope. Jesus Christ is our certainty. He is our confidence in the midst of our uncertainty. Why? Because He conquered life. Because He conquered death. Because He is Lord. Because, as this passage says, because of God's great mercy. And we can be confident when we hope in Jesus Christ because of His life, His words, His promises, past, present, and future. He is the good guy that's going to win in the end, and if we're on His team, we believe in Him, then we're going to win too in the end. Now, does that mean we understand everything that's going on? Certainly not. I'm trying to figure out everything about God and what He's doing in our lives all the time, moment by moment, is like an ant trying to figure out what we do as people when we don't even always know what we do as people. Does that mean that we won't ever be anxious for the future? Anxious because of the possibilities that are out there, the possibilities of an unseen future and the consequences? No. But what it means is we have a place to go. that we have a person that we can go to who loves us and can make it happen. Biblical hope is a wonderful, life-changing thing. Let's look at that for a minute. Let's look at it. Think with me, the difference that biblical hope can have in the life of a believer. You see, when we make Jesus our supreme hope, then we begin to look at our lives in a different way. 1 Peter starts out saying, to strangers and aliens who are located in different parts of the region there. They're strangers. We know that the earth is not our chief home. We also know that 2 Corinthians says, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature. The old is past, the new has come. Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. In the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself up for me. And when we read the word and it says, I have been crucified with Christ, that's not just applicable to the writer of that passage, who was Paul, but that's applicable to every believer. That's why it's in there. And when Jesus is our greatest hope, it gives us a different perspective on our lives. And the second thing that hoping in Christ does, it changes what we value. What we value is eternal things more than temporal things. Matthew 6 says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Then later it says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be yours as well. As bad as it gets here, our focus is on eternal things. That's the second thing. Third thing, having Christ as our supreme hope means living our lives abundantly. John 10, Jesus said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. There's an old commercial about Merrill Lynch. It said, Merrill Lynch is bullish on America. Remember that commercial? And I always used to think, you know, whenever I read about the stock market, there's bear markets and bull markets. And I try to think, what's a bull market? Well, I go back to that commercial. Merrill Lynch is in favor, bullish on America, so that must be good. So if I ever hear the phrase, a bull market, that must be a pretty good market. At least that's the way I understand it. But here's the point. Christians who have that assurance in their hearts because of Jesus Christ, the world's greatest hope, we're the ones that should be most bullish about life. We don't escape life. We engage life because our hope is in the giver of life. We're the ones that should have the greatest handle of life because we know the creator of life. We know the one who lived a perfect life. And so as a result, because we're bullish on life, we use our time and our talents and our treasures differently. We use them not for our own chief ends, but ultimately we use them as because we are instruments of God's great purpose. That's the third thing. We live our lives differently. We live our lives abundantly. And then finally, hoping in Christ means we're not bound to circumstances that can hold us captive. He's our source of joy and peace, our source of confidence, knowing that the Lord looks upon us at all times. Psalm 33 says, behold, the eye of the Lord is upon us, on those who hope in his loving kindness. We know that hoping in Christ is our source of strength and peace and courage. Psalm 31 says, be strong and let your heart take courage, all you who hope in the Lord. Hope, biblical hope. True hope for our lives is found in Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ is supreme. He is Lord over all. He is before all. He is above all. And I think that the number one reason that there's times as humans, that we as Christians, that we lose our sense of hope is because we fail to hold Jesus Christ as our supreme hope. And we let lesser hopes take center stage. And then we pay the consequences of that. Maybe you've experienced that in your life. You know, relationships, even marriage relationships. Whenever I counsel people who want to come and be married, the first thing I say is remember the triangle. Remember that here you are, and here you are, and here God is. And the more you hold on to God, and the more you move in that direction, you need to make sure that Jesus is both of your greatest hopes, but usually if there's problems, it's because one or the other or both have failed somewhere along the line and they have sacrificed for lesser hopes, and it brings about consequences. Hoping in Christ. You know, so where do we go from here? Maybe one of the areas that the church, you know, they say that the church in America is declining and it's in trouble. And I don't believe that, because God hasn't changed. You know, and throughout history there's been cycles and everything. But you look for a reason why that is. You know, and I think there's probably a number of reasons. One I think of, the Bill O'Reilly show. You know, I don't watch that show very much, but I know he'll get a guest on there and he'll say, "What think ye?" And I think the question that the church needs to ask is this: what think ye of Jesus Christ? What impact does he have in your daily life? Does he hold his rightful place of supremacy in your life, even in the midst of struggles? And if he does, how am I working that out? Is he king? Yes. Is he Lord? Yes. Dr. Stephen Prothero said this. He said, "In the United States, Jesus is widely held as the King of Kings. But it's a strange sort of sovereign who is so slavishly responsive to his subjects." He says, "The American Jesus tends to be more of a pawn than a king, pushed around in a complex game of cultural chess, sacrificed here for this cause or for another." In other words, we say Jesus is king, but I think I kind of want to do this. Or he is king, but you know, maybe I want to be king for just a little while. The editors of U.S. News and World Report had an article at the end of the year way back in 2003, and it was this. It said, "The new evangelicals, their bold take on Christianity is changing America." It was a positive article. And in it, they listed some of the terms that described what they called the new evangelicals. It said 4 out of 10 Americans fall into this category. They said they were serious about religion. They were diverse and complex. They're spiritually accessible to all. They're vigorous, especially in faith-based social initiatives. They're pro-life, they're pro-family, they're pro-America, they're market savvy, and a few more. And it was a good article. But if you read the article, there was one glaring weakness. Christ was mentioned one time. And it was never asserted in the entire article about the new evangelicals that Jesus Christ is supreme. The point of all this is this. Jesus is our living hope. That's what 1 Peter's about. Jesus is our chief hope. Doesn't mean we understand everything, but we go back to that wonderful truth because he is our supreme hope. And he is granted to us by God himself. And so we want to remember and we want to return to our hope. We want to hold on to our greatest hope. That's Jesus Christ. And we want to hold him highly. That's what 1 Peter is talking about. Sure, we hope in our circumstances, but our ultimate hope is not in our circumstances because no one can fully control them. We hope in people. Of course we do. But our ultimate hope is not found in people because people aren't perfect and people can let us down. But our hope is in Jesus Christ. And if we want to walk in hope and experience the power that comes from that hope, we want to walk in it moment by moment. We need to seek to keep Christ as our supreme hope. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son. We are so grateful that we have as believers a handle, our hands on at that certain hope in Jesus Christ. And Lord, we pray that we might walk in that hope and we might hold that hope forth in other people. To other people. It's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.